Question is this, is God in control? Give me a good listen tonight. I try not to be lengthy, but I have a heart that wants to speak tonight about, is God in control? If you look at your Bibles one more time, I'll come back down to Matthew chapter 10 in a moment, but Christians as well as non-Christians frequently speak of misfortunes, or they'll speak of things like accidents, or circumstances beyond our control. Or we'll speak of things, preacher, just happenings. It's a happening by chance. Down through the centuries, sickness and suffering and sorrow have always raised questions about God's control and God's care for creation. Questions like, why if God is both powerful and good, why is there so much suffering? So much pain. Why is there so much war? If God is both powerful and good, why is there so much heartache in the world? And it would seem that if some people's thinking, God is either good, but not all powerful. A lot of people do think that God is good, but not necessarily all powerful. He is powerful, but not all good. Theologians call this aspect of God's character the providence of God. That's what they call that. God's providence is His constant care for and absolute rule over all His creation for His own glory and the good of His people. Note when we say that little definition, the word absolute, note the absolute terms. Constant care. That's an absolute term. Constant care. Absolute rule. All creation. Those are absolutes. Nothing. Did you get it from the scripture tonight? Nothing. Not even the smallest matter escapes God's care and God's control. That's issue number one. Nothing. Nothing, not even the smallest of matter, escapes the care and the control of Almighty God. And that's the truth. Now, let's look at Roman numeral number one. Is it God or chance? Are we living in a day that's either God or chance? Let's think about this tonight. The doctrine of providence is scarcely accepted by many people today because we believe in randomness, for example, or we believe in luck, or we believe in chance, or we believe in fate. These are the modern terms that man uses to answer the age-old question, why? Why, God? Well, it was luck, that's why. Somebody says, well, it was a chance. It was random. It was fate. That's what it was. And we explain why that way. Of course, that's not so. Of course, if one dismisses the whole idea of God, as many do today, then there is no other alternative. But still others have fabricated a God of their own speculations who created the universe and then walked away from the universe to leave it running according to its natural laws and man's devices. And a lot of Christians are in that little group, by the way. A surprising number of Christians hold that view. Or they accept the concept that God is sovereign, but believe He chooses not to exercise His sovereignty in the daily affairs of our lives. Let me ask you this question. Is God sovereign? Now, when we say amen to that statement, do we understand what we just said amen to? That God is sovereign. You know, in His well-known statement about sparrows, Jesus contradicted the ways that we think about God's sovereignty. Now, look at, again, chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. According to Jesus, God does not exercise His sovereignty. In some cases, God exercises His sovereignty in the very minute events of life. Even the life and the death of an almost worthless little bird called a sparrow. But our sovereign God knows Listen, you might think this is so silly, but our sovereign God knows every single sparrow that falls to the earth, according to this Bible. He is the sovereign God. He has every hair of every head numbered. Why? He is the sovereign God. Now think with me a little bit. The point cannot be more clear. If God so exercises His sovereignty in regard to sparrows, most certainly, don't you think, He will exercise His sovereignty in regard to us, His children? So that tells me something about God. He knows everything about you. He knows every idea that you're thinking. He knows every thought that you've thought. He knows every move that you're making. He knows even why you made that move. God is the sovereign God, and God knows it all. And He knows why people are sick. And He knows why people are suffering. And He also allows it, or it wouldn't happen. Now, while it's true that God's love for us, now you have to get this, saints of God. God's love for us does not protect us from pain and suffering. Neither does it protect us from sorrow. Now I want to say that again. It's true that God's love for us is great. That God loves us. But it does not protect us from pain and sorrow or even death. It is also true that all occasions of pain and sorrow that we suffer, they are also under all of God's absolute control. If God controls the circumstances of a little sparrow, how much more does He control the circumstances that affect you and me? God controls everything about each one of us. That's what makes Him sovereign. God does not walk away and leave us to the mercy of uncontrolled random or chance events. That's why in our life, brother, you belong to God and you're not your own. And you cannot come and go and do what you want to. You need to check with the boss before you ever do anything. I mean, before you buy a car, before you buy a house, before you invest any money, before you do anything, you need to check with God because you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. He is the sovereign God. And I don't care if you are a fundamental Baptist, you can't dictate to God. No, God's the boss, not us. Well, God, you're not fair. God's always fair. Well, God, you didn't get this one right. God's got everything right. God is the sovereign God. Now, God's absolute control. Let's talk about that. And I want you to get your Bibles ready. Now, it'll be on the screen, but I also want you to get your Bibles on this section. Our response to these assertions is more than mere theological discussion, I think. Confidence in the sovereignty of God and all that affects me and you is crucial to our trust in Him. Now get this, please. Here's a statement. I want you to write this down if you can. If there is a single event in all of the universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control, then I'm telling you right now, we cannot trust God. Now let me say it one more time. If there's anything, I thought about this all afternoon. After I got done talking with Warren Brown, Brother David, I thought about this the whole time, last night and this morning and all day today. If there is anything, any event, any single event in all the universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control, then I cannot and you cannot trust God. Now, knowing that to be true, His love may be infinite, but if His power is limited, and if His purposes can be thwarted, then I can't trust Him. And neither can you. However, the Scripture explicitly teaches us something different. The Scriptures teach us that God rules as surely on earth as He does in heaven. That's what the Scripture teaches me. He permits, for reasons known only to Him, people to act contrary to and in defiance of His revealed will. But, now get this, God never permits anybody to act contrary to His sovereign will. Now you can act contrary to His revealed will, but you will never act contrary to His sovereign will. God is sovereign God. Now go with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 16. Now we're going to kind of go at Proverbs and just stay there for two or three verses of Scripture. I want to just show you something. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way. What does it say next? But the Lord directeth his steps because He's sovereign God. Wow. That's interesting. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 21. Just a few pages back, or maybe a page back in your Bible. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Not the counsel of a man's heart is going to stand, but what God says is going to stand. Everybody understand that? We make a lot of plans in our hearts, but it's the Lord's purpose that's going to prevail. That's what that's teaching us. Look at chapter 21, verse 30, please. There is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. There's no wisdom, there's no planning, there's no insights that can succeed against God. Nobody conquers God. God is sovereign, amen? He's our sovereign God. Look at Lamentations. Go back to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? In other words, who can speak and have something happen? If the Lord hadn't decreed it, it's not happening. You know why? He's sovereign God. Now sometimes we don't like to think about that because we think we're as big as God. We're not as big as God. And you're never going to tell God what to do. And you're never going to tell God how to handle things. I'll tell you what, God does as He pleases. I'll prove that to you in a little bit. Go to Revelation chapter 3. All the way back to the book of Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Now, doesn't it say here in verse number 7? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Now, what's he do? He that what? He opens, and no man... Now, if God opens something up, guess what? No man can shut it. And when God shuts something, what happens? No man can open it. What happened in the ark, by the way? Don't you ever believe for one little bit that Noah shut the ark's door. No. Noah never shut the door. No, sir. God shut the door. You say, well, if Noah wouldn't have shut that door, a lot of people would have got to say, no, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. God had given him years to repent. And God, in His sovereign plan, in His sovereign will, said, all right, it's the time to shut the door. And a lot of folks outside that ark were knocking on the ark. Hey, Noah, let us in. And you know, that old man may have thought to himself, I'd love to let you in. I'd like to let you in. In fact, boy, if it was my church, I'd let you in. But I can't. I didn't shut the door. And guess what? Since He shut it, I can't open it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about God and church work and people. When God says, I'm done, I'm done. No matter how hard we work to try to get somebody, if God says He's done, He's done. Now, I don't know that time, but when God says that's over, it's over. And no man will be able to open it back up. Boy, I thank God for open doors. You know, a lot of times we make plans, but those plans can succeed only when they are consistent with God's plans. No one can act if the Lord has not first decreed to either make it happen or permit it to happen. God's sovereign. Thousands of Christians have experienced injustices at the hands of others. Maybe you have too. When those events occur, they always hurt, don't they? We cannot dismiss that hurt with a glib expression. Well, God's in control. No, it's hurt time. God's in control, but in His control, He allows us to experience pain. Listen, if your family lost a little girl or a little boy, I don't care how many kids you have, and I hate it when somebody says, oh, well, Pastor, they ought to buck up because they've got four other kids or three other kids or five other kids. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, every child is important to God and important to us, and we dare not say, well, they got all these others. No, sir, there's a hole in the heart, and it hurts. But it's still in God's will. God's sovereign. You see, in that control, in His will, He allows us to experience pain. And I'm telling you, the pain is very real. We hurt, we suffer, but in the midst of our suffering, we must believe. We've got to believe that God is in control and He is sovereign no matter what would happen to us in the next few days. And somebody may face a tragedy. God is in control. We might scratch our heads and say, I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I know we can't, but God is in control. He's got everything under control. Amen. Now once you start living your life like that, you live better. Because you know you can't live or breathe or move without God. Now when you think you're in control, that's why some people don't come to church. They're in control. That's why they act the way they do. They're in control. They're going to find out God's in control. God is sovereign. You know, the sovereignty of God is the one rock to which the suffering human heart has got to cling. The circumstances surrounding our lives are no accident. They're not. They may be the work of the devil or the work of evil. But listen, I'm telling you right now, that devil, that evil, cannot do one thing unless the mighty hand of the sovereign God says, okay, I permit you to touch them. Example is Job. The devil went and stood before God and accused Job of being a righteous man who escheweth evil. And he was upright in all that he did. And he said, God, if you let me get to him, let me get to him. And God said, okay. Boy, I don't want the devil to go to God about me, do you? How about that? He said, go ahead and touch him. But don't take his life. Now, everything that Job went through was a part of the sovereign plan and will of God. Amen. He had done nothing to deserve what he went through. It was the devil who accused him before the throne. And the God of heaven said, okay. The sovereign will of God. All evil is subject to God, and evil cannot touch His children unless He permits it. What would you do if the God of heaven would permit the devil to touch you tonight? Some terrible disease? Would you get bitter at God? What happens tonight if your child dies while he's sleeping? And you would say, God, that's not fair. He didn't even begin to live. Stop right there. God's in control. He's sovereign God. You see, we don't really live like God's sovereign. We say, but brother, if God ever did, I'd just quit church. What a silly statement to make. Well, I'd be so disappointed with God, I would never again want to go to church and worship God or read His Bible. I don't think that would be fair. Everything God does is fair. Tough stuff. The sovereignty of God. God is the Lord of human history, of personal history. And He is the Lord of all. Not only are the willful, hurtful acts of others, other people under God's sovereign control, but so are the mistakes and failures. Now think about this a minute. Stop here a second. Did another driver go through that red light and hit your car and put you in the hospital with multiple fractures? That happened to me. I was 17 years old, driving my car, minding my own business, going to football practice. I played defense and offense on the football team. I was a running back and defensive backfield man. I was between my junior and senior year, it was in the summertime. It's the month of August. Just next week I'll celebrate that anniversary of that particular accident. Listen to me. Did another driver run a red light or stop sign? Yes, he did. Did he strike my car? Yes, he did. Did he send me to the hospital with multiple fractures? Yes, it was. The hurtful acts of another, mistakes or failures. Did a physician fail to detect your cancer in its early stages when it would have been treatable? Did you end up with an incompetent instructor at college course? An inept supervisor that blocked your career in business? All of these circumstances I thought about are under the controlling hand of a sovereign God who is working them out for the good of our lives. I asked my mama, when we were sitting there in that hospital room, and I had my mouth wide shut because the whole jaw was busted up, and I was broken and busted everywhere and bleeding everywhere. And I said, "Mama, what happened to me?" She said, "Son, you had a terrible car accident. They didn't think he was going to live, but I think you're going to make it now. But you'll never walk again, son. You'll never be able to play sports again, that's for sure." And I said, "Mom, did you get mad at God? Because I'm kind of mad right now." And she said, "Boy, I don't know how to answer that, son. Because I'm a little upset right now. But I learned something in that accident. Even if I would have died, that was the sovereign will of God. That was put down, hurt bad. Told it wouldn't live, did. Told it wouldn't walk, I am. Told it couldn't play sports, I do. How'd that all work? Somehow the sovereign hand of God. But I decided, after I got out of that mess, I cannot, and I never shall, hold bitterness against God. He is the sovereign God. He does as He wills. I'm just His." So I've got to be thankful that I'm His. That I'm not lost. What are you going to go through in the next few weeks, or months, or days, or years? We never know, do we? Nothing is so small or trivial, though, as to escape the attention of God's sovereign control. Nothing is so great as to be beyond His power to control it. You see, that little insignificant sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His will. The mighty Roman Empire cannot crucify Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, unless the power is given to it by God. Do you think that Roman government could have killed Jesus? If God didn't say it was okay? If God said it was not okay, they couldn't have done it. It's the truth. John 19, 10, 11. And what is true for the sparrow and Jesus says it's true for you and me. No detail of your life is too insignificant for your Heavenly Father's attention at all. Now, let's look at this next little thought about the sovereignty of God. God does as God pleases. I want you to go down to Job chapter 42, verse number 2. We'll look on the screens for these if you can have them ready, Don. The truth that no circumstance can occur outside the boundaries of God's sovereignty will, His sovereign will, is only one side of that sovereignty. The other side, which is just as important to our trusting Jesus Christ, is that no plan of God's can ever be thwarted. If God has a plan, God's going to bring it to pass. And nothing can stop God's plan. Now, when He acts, can anybody reverse when God acts? Answer me again. Can anybody tell me, can anybody reverse what God does? They can't reverse it, can they? They can't. There's no way. No one can hold back His hand or bring Him to account. God does as He pleases, only as He pleases, and works out every event to bring about His accomplished will. That's God. That's the sovereignty of God. What does Job 42:2 say? I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. God can do anything, does as He pleases. Let's go to Psalm 115, verse number 3. And we'll look at Isaiah 14 just a moment. But our God is in the heavens. And what's it say? He hath done what? What's He done? He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Whatever He wants to do, He's going to do. You know why? He's sovereign God. Nobody tells God what to do. What about one more verse? Let's go to Isaiah 14, verse 27. I'm trying to show you that God does as He pleases. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall listen all? And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Well, the answer is nobody. When God does something, He's going to purpose something, He's going to do it. When God stretches His hand out and to perform an act or do something, God's going to do it. Nobody can turn His hand back. He's going to do what he wants to do. About Isaiah 46:10. Another verse. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And what's he say next? I will do all my pleasure. God's going to do what he pleases. Do you see it in Scripture? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. This is a bare, unqualified statement of sovereignty of God. It terrifies us if we don't know God. What's it say here? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. How's he working? After your counsel? Is he working after Pastor Lewis, checks with Pastor Lewis to make sure he's going to do it right? No, God does whatever he pleases. He doesn't have to check with me, you, or any head bishop anywhere. God does whatever he pleases. Do you see that in Scripture? Have I given you enough Scripture that shows you that he does after his own will? Takes his own counsel, does his own will. But God is not only sovereign, he's also perfect in love and infinite in wisdom. He exercises his sovereignty for his glory and for the good of his people. But how does this aspect of God's sovereignty relate to our trusting in him? Why is this any more than merely an abstract statement about God that could be debated? Statement that has little relevance to our day-to-day life. The answer is this, that God does have a purpose. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you need to teach all of our students that God has a purpose for everybody's life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for everyone. Now, you may not be doing what God has for you, but you need to get in on it and find out what God's sovereign will is for you. And do it. Really. Because God has not only a plan and a will, but he has the power to carry it out. It is one thing to know that no person and no circumstance can touch us outside of God's sovereign control. It's another thing to realize that no one person or circumstance can frustrate God's purpose for our lives. You know, God has an overarching purpose for all believers. Does anybody know what God's purpose is for all believers? It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. What is God's purpose for everybody? Well, here it is. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What does God have as the overarching design and will for your life? It is for you to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And he also has a specific purpose for each of us. If we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we'll see that he has a specific purpose for each of us. That is, his unique, tailor-made plan for our individual lives. And God wants to fulfill that purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Number four, trusting God. Now, because we know God is directing our lives to an ultimate end, and because we know that he is sovereign, and he's able to orchestrate the events of our lives toward that end, then I can trust him. Now you see, when you go through a tragedy, you don't know why you're going through it, do you? But you've got to get this to this point. He's my sovereign God. He knows what I'm going through. He's got something for me. I don't know what it is. I laid that sick bed all broken up with my body broken and couldn't hardly breathe. And I said, God, what did you do this? What happened? Well, right away, everybody who came said, oh, God didn't do that to you. God didn't do that to you. I said, well, he didn't do it to me, but he allowed it to happen. If he hadn't allowed it to happen, Barry, he wouldn't have ever happened. But he allowed it to happen. For his sovereign will to be accomplished in my life. Now, I can either become better or become bitter. Many Christians become very, very bitter. And they leave the things of God. Don't ever do that. We can commit to Him not only the ultimate outcome of our lives, but also the intermediate events and circumstances that will bring us to that outcome. Over all the actions and events of our lives, and by the way, Brother Frank was talking about that too, how that he came out of a certain doctrinal teaching. Frank, do you ever wonder why he was ever in that doctrinal teaching? I was birthed in the doctrinal teaching. Frank was not birthed in the doctrinal teaching. There's other folks who've been birthed in lots of other doctrinal teaching. Have you ever wondered why God allowed you to go through what you've gone through to get to where you are? Huh? It's amazing. If we start to ask everybody, well, what'd you do? Where'd you come from? It's amazing where everybody came from. But God, listen, God has a sovereign will. He knew on this Wednesday night we would be sitting here talking about the sovereign will of God. He's God, folks. When are we going to finally say, God, you're God. I give up. Whatever you want, help yourself. I'm yours. You want to take me early? Take me. Well, leave me here till I'm 90? That'd be great. But it doesn't matter. God, you're sovereign. You do whatever you plan. Just help me to get in on it so I don't get so discouraged. I want to get in on what you're trying to do so I don't get so discouraged and upset and frustrated. The sovereignty of Almighty God. Trusting God. Remember Joseph? Go to Genesis 45 in your Bible, verse 8. You exactly remember what happened to Joseph, don't you? His brother sold him into slavery. That was a malicious act. In due time, Joseph was recognized, though, as God being with him. And Joseph recognized that through his brother's actions of selling him into slavery, God was acting for him. And then one day he could say to them, what did he say in 45:8? In a sense, didn't he say, you didn't do it to me. God did this. Isn't that what he said? So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He said, all the time you thought you did it. No, you didn't do it. God did it. God allowed you to do that to me, so I'd be in this position, so I could help you. You understand? You say, somebody said, why does God take me this road? Why did I have to go down there? Listen, quit asking so many questions. Just believe God. God, if that's where you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever. I'll do it. I'll do whatever. I'm yours. When are we going to learn to say, God, I'm yours. I give myself to you. I can't do anything about it anyway. If I'm sick, guess what? The only person who can heal me is God. And if he doesn't, I go to heaven. Whatever his will is, that's so important. You and I may never have the privilege in this life of seeing an obvious outcome of God's plan for us as Joseph did. We may not. But God's plan for us is no less firm. He wants us to live by faith. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we must learn to trust God. We must learn the language of the Apostle Paul. He said, by faith, I've got to live for God, not by sight. By faith, not by sight. One of the greatest passages in the Bible, and I want you to turn to this in Jeremiah chapter 29. Here's one of the greatest passages in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It's very meaningful to me for several reasons, but look at this chapter and verse. Jeremiah 29. We're going to drop down to verse number 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Now, how does God think towards you, according to Scripture? He says, I think about you, and I think thoughts of peace about you. I don't think about hurting you or whatever. My thoughts about you are peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, I have a sovereign plan for your life, and I think about your life in good ways and good means. I think about your life. I know I have plans for you. Although these words I know were directed to the nation of Judah because they were in captivity, they express a principle about God. A principle affirmed elsewhere in the Bible. God has a plan for you. For you. For you. Every little bus kid comes in. I think about that on Sunday morning. I see all those bus kids come in. They have no foggy idea what they're even here at church for. You know, my wife was talking to some teenagers last week, and she said, "Did anybody give an altar call?" One of the little kids said, "What's an altar call?" You've never been to church. They don't know what an altar call is. Anybody talk to you about the Lord's Day? Oh, yeah, they did that. I don't know what an altar call is. I don't know what that is. You see, God has a plan for all those kids. All those teenage kids, God's got a plan for them. Not just for our little kids that we hold in our bosoms, but for all these kids. God's got a plan for this church. My goodness, let's not miss a sovereign plan for God. He's got a sovereign will here. God has a plan. Because He has a plan for you, and because no one can thwart that plan, you can have hope and courage, and you too can trust God. God is never surprised, is He? Is God ever surprised? Does God say, oh, I didn't know Geno Sharp was going to do that? Why, Michael, the archangel, come on. Did you know Sharpie was going to do that? No. God's never surprised. Come on, amen. God knows everything, doesn't He? Does God ever get caught off guard? Never. Is God ever frustrated? No. Is He frustrated by unexpected happenings or developments? No. God does as He pleases, and that which pleases Him is always for His glory and for our good. That's what really pleases God, is His glory be seen and for your good. Our lives are cluttered with a lot of things like this. If only. If only I'd done this. If only I'd done that when I was younger. If only, if only, if only. But God has no if onlys. God never makes a mistake, and God has no regrets. In fact, Psalm 18, verse 30 says, as for God, His way is what? As for God, His way is perfect. We can trust God. He's trustworthy. You know, this Wednesday night, what I'd like to have you do is go home from this meeting and say, you know, God's in control of this whole thing. You know, I got before me this whole thing about this health care reform. I read stuff all the time. I lay this before God, and I said, God, now what are we doing? What are you and I doing here? I know you're in control. This whole thing's going to work out exactly, but I need to do something probably. What do I need to do? Is He in control? Did this stuff surprise Him? No, He knew it was coming, didn't He? Now, He does have ways and means for us to do things because we are in the society we live in. And we need to act and react to certain things. But God's in control. He never makes a mistake. His ways are perfect. And one more thought and I'm done. Faith through adversity. I readily admit, and I will have to admit this with you, it is difficult to believe God is in control when we are in the midst of anxiety, heartache, or terrible grief. Now, is everybody in agreement with that, me that it is so difficult to say, well, God, You're in control, when you don't understand what's happening and the anxiety is at high level and your grief is at a high level and, man, you just don't understand what's going on and I have a heartache, I've lost a baby, I've lost a child. I mean, I told Warren, I said, Warren, I would never say to you, I'd never come to your house and I would never say to you, well, God will give you the strength and grace just to get over this. I said, brother, because I know something. I've been alive for 62 years, and I've been pastoring for a long time. And I'm telling you, when a young person dies in your home, it leaves a hole in your heart that you'll never get over. He started crying, and he said, boy, you're right. He said, I got a big hole, preacher. Just can't seem to fill it. Folks, listen, life is tough. I want to remind you one more time, God is in control. And He is sovereign. Yield to God's control. Please don't have your own agendas. Don't make your own decisions. Believe God first. Trust God first. Lean on God first. Give yourself totally to Him first. He will bless your life and make a way that you would not ever know could have been possible. Faith through adversity. I honestly have struggled many times myself with anxiety and heartache and grief. Just as we must learn to obey God one choice at a time, we must learn to trust God one circumstance at a time. Amen. Trusting God is not a matter of my feelings, by the way. Trusting God is a matter of my will. I don't always feel like trusting God, but I know it's right to trust Him, so I just trust Him. Amen? The truth is, we must believe that God is sovereign. He carries out His own good pleasure. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Make this one more statement. I want you to remember this statement as well. I'd like to make it real compassionate, but I'm not sure I can. Our first priority in times of adversity is to honor and glorify God by trusting Him. Now, I know when we're going through adversity or heartache or difficult time or grieving time, this is tough to say, but our first priority in times of adversity is to honor and glorify God by trusting Him. We tend to make our first priority the gaining of relief from the feeling of the heartache or disappointment or our frustration. That's kind of like a natural thing. And God has promised to give us grace. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says these words, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I'm done with this. Just as God's will is to take precedence over our will. In fact, didn't Jesus teach us that? In Matthew chapter 26, did He not pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what He taught us. So God's honor is to take precedence over our feelings. No matter how you feel tonight, God's first. And God is sovereign. And God can do whatever He pleases. And we need to say, okay, I love you, God. That's fine. That's good. We honor you. We honor God by choosing to trust Him when we don't understand. Sometimes we say, God, I don't understand what You're doing in my life. What You've allowed to come. All these adverse circumstances. But as we seek to glory Him and honor Him, we may be sure tonight that He has a purpose for us. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a purpose for everybody in this room tonight. Everybody in this room has a purpose. And He wants to be your sovereign God. Have you yielded to Him? I don't understand, preacher. I'm kind of disappointed with God. Don't ever get disappointed with God. There's a book that Brother Wolf and I read. Philip Yancey, Disappointment with God. That's a good book, the one that Brother Wolf. Powerful book. But he wrote about being disappointed with God. God's sovereign. He knows what He's doing in your life, and He has a plan for you. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.